Sportscast, September 16th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, iTunes, and Periscope. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net. The number 15th ranked Oregon Ducks closed out their non-conference schedule with a blowout victory over visiting Montana 35-3. And the Ducks go into the Pac-12 2-1. To join us to talk to us a little bit about Oregon, Mr. Ty Turner, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Hello, man.
So, Ty, Oregon defeated Montana 35-3. What are your thoughts?
I mean, it was kind of what you expected. They were, I think, a 36-point favorite. So, actually, they didn't quite cover the spread. They just missed it. So, it was what you expected. I don't think it was one of those performances that was like a wow performance by Oregon. But obviously, you win 35-3. The defense doesn't give up any touchdowns. You were in control, 21-0 at halftime. I think it was 28-3 by the end of the third quarter. So, I mean, the whole game was a dominating performance. They were the better team. But it's an FCS school, a good one. I mean, it's a top 25 FCS school. I bet you money that Montana ends up in the FCS playoffs. But they just, you know, couldn't match up with the athletes of Oregon. Couldn't match up on either side of the line. You know, the wide receivers had trouble getting any separation from the DBs. And the wide receivers for Oregon were able to get some separation from their DBs. And, yeah, it was what it was. I mean, I definitely said the player of the game was for 42. He had a couple incompletions at the end there when they kept him in kind of long in the fourth quarter that brought down his completion percentage a little bit. But he still completed 71% of his passes. He threw five touchdowns. He made a highlight play on the one where the guy broke free and he was able to break out of the tackle, roll out to his right, and throw a 25-yard strike for a touchdown to Johnny Johnson III. So, I like where Oregon is. For the most part, offensively, they're still a little bit inconsistent. It's kind of been that way since Marcus Arroyo has been the offensive coordinator. And there could be, you know, we've had a lot of injuries at wide receiver this year and tight end. And last year we had some inconsistency from the wide receiver play. So it could be little things like that. But I just think over the last couple of years, the offense was always so consistent for Oregon. It's just been a little up and down. You know, sometimes they look good, sometimes they don't look quite as good. They don't look as sharp. I mean, it's not always consistently been good. Now, defensively, Oregon looks good. They're pretty much top 20 in every defensive category, whether it be scoring, defensive efficiency, forcing turnovers, getting off the field on third down, red zone defense. I think they're top 20 in all those categories. And top one or two in the Pac-12. So, the defense is good. I mean, they have good defense, and a lot of the talent is young, so that's even better. Offensively, you know, Justin Herbert had a pretty good year. Can't have any too many problems with a guy that's completing 73% of his passes, 11 touchdowns, zero interceptions. But as a whole, I would say they're still a little bit inconsistent.
Justin Herbert had 316 yards in rushing. Travis Dye had 101 yards. Receiving Johnny Johnson III had 76 yards. Like you were saying, Herbert's having a good year so far. Of course, the debate of the Heisman, you know, his name will be brought up.
Yeah.
Looking forward to Stanford. It's next week where Oregon will be playing against them. They lost against UCF this past weekend. What is your prediction of what's going to happen against Stanford and Palo Alto? They're playing.
Stanford right now is just not very good, which is very unusual. Stanford over the last decade, I think they've won three Pac-12 titles. They played in four or five the top tier bowl games, whether it be the Orange Bowl, Rose Bowl, I don't know whatever other one they've played in. You know, they've had Heisman finalists like Andrew Luck, Toby Gerhart, Christian McCaffrey. I could argue that Gerhart and McCaffrey got robbed both times by for the Heisman Trophy. But I think it was both times by an Alabama guy. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I believe they gave Ingram the trophy over Gerhardt, and they gave Derrick Henry the Heisman over Christian McCaffrey. But anyway, so Stanford's been a great program, always known for very good offensive line play, good quarterback play. Well, right now, they're injured. Walker Little, their former five-star tackle who was projected first-round draft pick, he's out for the season. Foster Sarrell, another former five-star, he's out. I don't know how long, but he's been out. The backup got injured, the backup tackle, I forgot his name, I think he was a freshman. He got injured against UCF. They have a couple linebackers, I think they're both middle linebackers, I believe they're both injured. KJ Costello's been injured, and that plus they just had depth issues. They only brought 77 guys in on scholarship. That's eight under the you get 85. You have the opportunity to have 85 guys on scholarship. So anytime you're under that, it provides too far under that, you can provide depth issues. Same thing for Florida right now. And Stanford's under it. And so these injuries are hurting them. They're having to go to guys that probably shouldn't be playing. They're like on the offensive line, there's a good chance against Oregon, they're going to be playing like third string guys in the starting lineup. That's not good. So I just don't think Stanford's very good. I think injuries, I think maybe a little bit of poor roster management to have so many open scholarships. And just overall, I just don't think they're a very good team. It's good for Oregon from the standpoint is they should win this game, but you know, it's always good for the rivalry if it's a competitive game. But I don't know. I don't think it really should be a competitive game. It is at Stanford. That's another thing. Stanford doesn't always fill the stands, and now that they're not doing good, I don't even know if it's going to be much of a turnout. And that's Northern California, where a lot of the Oregon Duck players are from, and where Oregon Duck have a strong alumni base. You might see more Oregon fans, Stanford fans in the stands.
That's awesome.
Pretty good possible. So I really think Oregon, I know we do predictions at the end of the podcast, but I don't know. I don't think Stanford's very good right now.
Stanford is coming off a 45-27 loss at number 15 UCF, which dominated from start to finish. The Cardinal, who won last year's meeting 38-31 in overtime, Cardinals, have lost all Pac-12 offensive linemen. Walker Little, for the remainder of the season, are coping with other significant injuries. It seems like, you know, this is Oregon's game to win, as you were saying. And last week, I mean, UCF, you know, obviously they were known as to being undefeated last year. And their freshman quarterback, Dylan Gabriel, threw for 347 yards. So it was definitely a good game for UCF, but Stanford not looking good. But we'll see what happens. The games have to be played, which is Oregon's first conference game of the season. So this should be a good start for them and hopefully gain towards the Pac-12. The Pac-12 right now, in the Pac-12 North, California is first, then Oregon, then Washington State, then Oregon State, Washington, and Stanford. How do you see California? Do you think, obviously, Oregon will play their conference game, but you think Oregon will probably surpass California. But how will California do?
I don't know. I mean, why are you asking specifically about California?
Anyways.
Well, I mean, they won the one game over Washington, so that's why they're in first place. I mean, California's fine. They're in the top 25, and we kind of discussed this off air right now. In the Pac-12, there is 6 teams in the top 25. 4 of those are from the Pac-12 North: Washington, Washington State, Oregon, and Cal. And then you got 2 teams from the Pac-12 South: Utah and Arizona State. So the Pac-12 is actually well represented in the AP top 25 right now. 6 is tied with SEC, who also has 6. And more than the Big Ten with 5, more than the Big 12 with 3, and the ACC with 2. So definitely the Pac-12 is looking pretty. I don't know if they have that top tier team. So you like ACC, you got Clemson. SEC, you got Alabama, Georgia, LSU. Big Ten, you got Ohio State, maybe Michigan. In the Big 12, you got Oklahoma and maybe Texas. Pac-12, I don't know if they have that top team, and that's what sometimes makes you think they're down. But as a whole, they're a pretty good conference. You have 6 to 7 teams, because USC was in the top 25 last week. You have 6 to 7 teams that could possibly land in the top 25. So you have a pretty good conference top to bottom. You just don't have the top tier teams. So, and right now, if you were to ask me, I mean, I think the South, Utah is the best team. They're the best team. You know, they play USC this weekend. USC has a lot of talent. You just don't know what you're going to get from USC. They had this great victory against Stanford. Then they went to BYU, turned the ball over 3 times and lost. You just don't know what you're going to get. But I think Utah is the best team over there. And in the Pac-12 North, I do still think the most talented team is my Ducks. But you have Washington State, who's always good. And Mike Leach is a tremendous coach who gets the most out of his talent. Washington's still a very good team. Chris Peterson has a great program. They lost that game to Cal. And then you have Cal. But to be honest with you, I still think Cal is the fourth best team at best in the Pac-12 North. They still don't have a very good offense. I know they beat Washington, and it's a tough matchup because they play such good defense. And Washington's never been a super explosive offense. So that's a good matchup for Cal. They're able to force turnovers like they have the last couple times they played Washington. They've been able to pull off the upset. I still don't think Cal will beat like an Oregon. I just don't think they'll be able to put up enough points. And Oregon's going to put up points because they have too many dynamic players on offense. And so if you're going to ask me specifically about Cal, they're good. They're a solid team. I still think they're probably fourth or fifth best team in the Pac-12 at best.
Not a threat for Oregon. Let's look at the AP top
20. I wouldn't say not a threat. Anytime you play someone, anytime someone plays defense, they have the possibility to beat them. I just don't think, if you're going to say, who do I think the toughest matchups for Oregon have on their schedule? Washington at Washington's a tough game. And Washington has the defense, you know, is very good defensively. And if they can neutralize at home Oregon's offense and get some plays on, you make some turnovers, make some plays, Washington can beat Oregon. I mean, it's at Washington. And it's a rivalry game, so they'll be up for it. And Washington State has beaten Oregon 4 years in a row. Mike Leach is a great X's and O's coach who can really take advantages of personnel and can really make games just schematically very complicated because of his ability to make it that way, honestly. So I would say the toughest games left, I would say, are those two, and maybe Arizona State in Tempe is a tough game. I just think Cal at home, yeah, I would be very surprised if they beat Oregon.
Oregon's next three games is against Stanford, California, and Colorado. Anything else about Oregon before we head into the AP Top 25?
The season's kind of maybe slightly played out like I thought. I knew it was kind of a coin toss in the first one, and they almost won it. They blew it at the end, and then they dominate the next two. If it goes as I think it goes, I really think, I kind of mentioned what I think their toughest games are. Could they run the table, win the Pac-12 and finish 12-1? Yeah, they could. They definitely could. Could they possibly lose to Washington and lose to Arizona State and finish like 9-3? Yeah, they could. So I look at them right now as a floor being a 9-3 team. I really think they win at least 9 games. And I think their ceiling could be 12-1 and Pac-12 champions. They are more talented on paper than everyone that they play except for USC. And USC is just all over the place. They fired their AD. They got upset this weekend. You just don't know what you're going to get from USC. I would trust Oregon more than USC right now. But on paper, they have more talent than every other person they play. But I do think at Washington, at Arizona State, and even the coaching acumen of a Mike Leach against Washington State, I think those are their toughest games left.
Now, if they do go 12-1 and become the Pac-12 champion, would that be enough for them to make into the college playoffs?
It's all dependent. If Oklahoma, Ohio State run the table, not a chance. The SEC champion will be one, then Oklahoma, Ohio State, and probably Clemson. Sorry, I picked Clemson. And Clemson. Clemson, Oklahoma, and Ohio State run the table. They don't have a chance in hell. Now, if some cool things happen, they have a good chance. Oklahoma loses, especially if they lose, like, the Big 12 championship. Ohio State loses, especially if they lose the Big 10 championship. Because, you know, a one-loss team that doesn't win, and Oregon is a one-loss team, with their only loss being a last-second loss to Auburn at a neutral site, and they go on to win 12 straight games, including the Pac-12 championship, I kind of like them in that edge. Now, a one-loss Oklahoma team that wins the Big 12 championship, I think Oklahoma gets the edge. A one-loss Ohio State that wins the Big 10 championship, I kind of like them in that edge. Clemson, if they lose a game in that, what is just not a good conference. I mean, ACC, no, like seriously, ACC has Georgia Tech losing to the Citadel. Boston College without their butt kicked at home to a Kansas team that's hardly won any games the last 2 years. North Carolina State got run out of the park by West Virginia. I mean, I could go on and on about how the ACC, Florida State's bad, Miami's bad. Everyone's like, North Carolina's back. Well, they lost to Wake Forest. The ACC, Virginia Tech has already lost. They barely beat Furman, a FCS school. ACC, Syracuse stinks. ACC stinks.
There's no one else but Clemson there.
Not a good conference.
Yeah.
Well, but if Clemson loses, lose to North Carolina, I think they play out North Carolina. If they lose to get upset by Florida State or something weird like that, I really don't care. I don't care that they've won two of the last three national titles in that kind of conference. I think one lost team out of the Big Ten, Pac-12, or the Big 12 deserves to get the edge over Clemson because that is just such a bad conference right now. You know, they always love throwing mud in the Pac-12. The media has just been just enjoying it the last few years. It's so weird. Continuing into the season, the Pac-12 has 16 in the top 25. ACC is 2. And Virginia is not that good. I saw them play against Florida State, barely beat them at home. They're not that good a team. That's their only other team in the top 25. That's a weak conference. I put Big 12 in there. I still like Pac-12 to the Big 12, but the Big 12 is a little better. You know, TCU is a solid team. Kansas State, you saw them beat Mississippi State the other day. They're a team that could make some noise. You know, Iowa State barely lost to Iowa. They're a decent team. Oklahoma State always can play some offense. I mean, the Big 12 still has some solid teams. They have an argument. Them and the Pac-12, and because Oklahoma is better than Pac-12, and Texas might even be better. You can make an argument the Big 12 is better than the Pac-12, but there's no argument for that. It's a terrible conference, an awful conference, and if Clemson loses, they don't get this year deserve to get the benefit of the doubt. I really kind of didn't think they deserved the benefit of the doubt 2 years ago when they lost Syracuse, and there were a one-loss ACC. I kind of thought them just handing Clemson in there, I was kind of like, it's because they're defending champions, is that why? But it doesn't matter. Each year should be a year to itself. If Clemson does not finish undefeated in the ACC, I don't think they should get in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're automatically out.
Unless there's two lost teams. Yeah, in my opinion.
Me too.
The conference is too weak.
Way too weak.
I mean, their only top 25 win might be A&M, and I don't know if A&M ends up in the top 25. A&M has to play Auburn, they have to play LSU, they have to play Alabama, they have to play Georgia. They could lose all those games. So they might have to be in the top 25. And then Clemson might not have any top 25 wins. So therefore, if they lose a game without any top 25 wins, they don't even get come on, give me a break.
The ACC is in limbo, I guess, right now. Obviously, a lot of the top teams or former top teams have been losing to smaller school games. We'll see what happens. Yep. Let's go to the AP top 25. It ended up looking the same as well, but the biggest change at the top, if you want to call that, is Michigan falling from number 10 to number 11. What are your thoughts about Michigan falling?
I mean, it fell one place, big deal. I mean, they went from 10 to 11. Whoop de doo. Oregon went from 15 to 16. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I don't have. I what do you want? What do you want? What's the question?
Utah.
Like, what do you want? What do you want?
Utah went up to 10th. A team that you've been talking about for the past couple of weeks. How do you see Utah in the future?
Well, I talked about them already. I mean, I think they're a pretty good team. Yeah, I already spoke on Utah. I said about how I think they're the favorite in the South, but you know, they play USC this weekend. USC has a little more talent on paper, but yeah, I mean, Utah's a solid team. They're in that Pac-12 discussion.
Three new teams entered the AP Top 25 this week: California, Arizona State, and TCU. The top four is still the same: Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, and LSU. Obviously, this past weekend there was not any major games, so hopefully this weekend we'll see some more action, and let's see if any movement will happen. Packers and Vikings. Aaron Rodgers threw two early touchdowns, and the Green Bay Packers held on for a 21-16 win over the Minnesota Vikings. Packers are 2-0. Ty.
Yep. They're pretty good. Started off the game really well, flying on all cylinders. Got out to a 21-0 lead, a couple touchdowns by Aaron Rodgers, and then their offense didn't do anything else for the rest of the game but turned the ball over a couple times. But their defense continues to play well. They did give up a couple big plays, big long touchdown by Dalvin Cook, a long touchdown pass to Stephon Diggs. But for the most part, they forced turnovers, a couple bad plays by Cousins helped, a bad interception in the red zone. But, yeah, it was a good victory. They beat NFC North rival last week in Chicago, at Chicago. Now they beat their bitter NFC rival, the Vikings. So they're 2-0 against NFC rivals. They're 2-0 to start the season. So, yeah, I mean, good start. Good start to the coaching career of Matt LaFleur. And I'm still not totally sold on this offense. You know, they had one good quarter in two games. Other than that, at times they're a little inconsistent. I don't love the receiving core. Decent running back. Nothing to write home about. Rodgers has been good. He has been great. Play calling's been okay. So the offense is kind of a work in progress. But the defense, it's nice. Other than a couple big plays, they didn't like that. But they forced turnovers. I like their defensive backfield for the most part. I like their pass rush. I think they're pretty good. I think they're pretty good defensively, especially, which is nice to see. So, Mike Patini has done a good job. So, yeah, good start. Will be a team to watch in the NFC. And I think this will be a pretty solid season. I think this is definitely a playoff-level team when all is said and done.
I do agree. Aaron Rodgers had 209 yards. Davante Adams had 106 yards in receiving. So far, Green Bay Packers are 2-0. Their next game is against the Broncos. And after that, the Eagles and then the Cowboys. So the Broncos, it's a little bit of an easier team. I'm sure they'll win it. They'll be playing in Lambeau Field. But they'll be traveling to the Eagles, which will be a interesting matchup because the Eagles are doing pretty well so far. And, of course, they're going to the Cowboys, to Cowboys Stadium, actually AT&T Stadium, which Packers have had a few victories there, so they're not afraid of Dallas. So far, so good. But we'll see what happens. Breaking news, Ben Roethlisberger is out for the season. He will be having elbow surgery. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, it's not good. Not good at all. Hopefully the Steelers can overcome that loss. Mason Rudolph can step up to the plate and make some plays for them. Not good.
As well, Drew Brees will be out for 6 weeks with a thumb injury. He reportedly is dealing with a ligament injury to his throwing thumb. He caused it in the first quarter and eventually lost the New Orleans Saints loss against the LA Rams. So two good quarterbacks. One is going to come back, but the other one's out for the season. So it's quite a bummer.
Yep.
Anyways, anything else before we head into – well, actually, we had a tweet yesterday about Stanford versus UCF, and I believe the tweet went like this. I think Stanford was being called a mediocre team, but you disagree. You think Stanford is a legitimate team.
Well, for one, it was what did I say? What exactly did I say? It was sent out from our Twitter. Repeat was specifically what I said.
Let me look back into the thread. Hold on.
Well, because I did not respond on the tweet. So there's, if people don't know out there, we have a Sportscast Twitter. If you follow it, it's not the same person that is necessarily running the Twitter. Justin Riley, he's the Alabama fan. I'm the Oregon Ducks fan. And so sometimes you might see some Oregon stuff. Sometimes you might see some Alabama stuff. Well, Justin Riley was the one, I'm assuming. It wasn't you, right?
No, it was definitely Justin Riley. Okay. And I think he admitted it.
He was trying to troll UCF, and UCF and Alabama's had that running beef because UCF claimed to win the national title, which was silly 2 years ago. I mean, they didn't win the national title, and no, they would not have beaten Alabama. That being said, he makes a statement that they think they're all good because they beat a middle to low tier Power 5 school.
That's correct. Yeah,
no, that's objectively not an accurate statement at all. Just because a team, is Stanford down this year? Yes, they are. But when they scheduled that game 2-3 years ago, Stanford was anything but a middle to low tier. A middle to low tier is a team that has probably not played for a conference title for a decade. Normally finishes 500 to not even being bowl eligible. You think of Indiana, you think of Duke, you think of Illinois, you think of a team like Kansas. Those are like middle to low tiers, haven't had good teams in years. You don't consider a team like Stanford middle to low tier. Anyone can have a bad year. In the last decade, you've had Ohio State have a bad year. You've had Michigan have a bad year or two. You've had Penn State have a bad year or two. You've had Texas have a bad year. You still don't consider those programs, because of who they've been for a decade, 2 decades, 3 decades, whatever, middle to low tier. USC's not very good right now. But you know how ridiculous people would think it is if you called USC a middle to low tier program? It's ridiculous. I mean, they're one of the most storied programs. Stanford's not quite on that level. But over the last decade, they've won 3 Pac-12 titles. I think they've won 5 or so Pac-12 North titles. They have played in 3 Rose Bowls offhand. They've played in an Orange Bowl. They've had 3 Heisman finalists. Actually, Andrew Luck was twice, so a total of 4 Heisman finalists. They've had a plethora of first-round draft picks at quarterback, at tight end, at offensive line. It's just not – Jim Harbaugh was there, obviously ended up going to the NFL and then to Michigan. David Shaw's taken over. I don't know how many – in the last decade, they probably had 8 or 9, 10-plus win seasons. That just is not a low-tier or even a mere Power 5 program. UCF beat a good program. Where the caveat is Stanford just is not very good right now this year. They've had a couple bad years of recruiting. They had some coaches leave to the NFL, and I don't know if they necessarily replaced them with as good of coaches. And recruiting, because of recruiting, they, you know, haven't brought in as good a talent. They also, I don't know if it's because of the academics. Remember, it's one of the hardest institutions to get into in college football. I mean, college, it's the number 2 rated college in America, regardless of, you know, I think it's Harvard. And then it's Stanford. And so I don't know if that's caused them not be able to sign as big classes. Their classes have been small. They've not been as talented. And therefore, they have some problems with roster numbers. They're just at a low end of roster numbers. Anytime you're at 75, 77 guys on scholarship, you're below the roster numbers. And when injuries happen, which has happened this year, like I stated before when I was talking at the beginning of the podcast, why that I think it's going to be a problem with them against Oregon is they just do not have the guys right now because of injuries to key positions like the offensive line and middle linebacker. So, yeah, but they could be back. I mean, get a good recruiting class. They have to get a couple good recruiting classes, get back to being more healthy, get the roster numbers up a little bit, and a program that's been very good for a decade plus will be fine. But yes, this particular year, they just are not having a great year. And I don't think it's a great team this year, but they're not a middle to low tier Power 5 program. So
there you have it. There you go. Stanford is not a low tier Power 5 team. Anything else, Tyler, before we head into game predictions?
Nope.
Okay, big weekend, a few games. Michigan versus Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's a very good. Remember, hope you have all these games because it's actually a very good weekend. There's a lot.
I'm running them down.
Michigan versus Wisconsin, top 25 matchup. You know, I like Wisconsin. It's at home. Michigan's offense has not been on track, and a game to get on track is not against one of the better defenses in college football on the road. I think Michigan is playing Wisconsin at the wrong time. If they played them later in the season when maybe their offense is getting going a little bit, I could see them beating Wisconsin because they have more talent on paper, but not right now. The bye week might have helped, but I think Wisconsin wins it.
Wisconsin wins in Wisconsin. Auburn versus Texas A&M.
Is it at A&M?
Correct.
Okay, I still not totally sold on Auburn. They shouldn't have beaten Oregon. They got lucky. They've beaten a couple, I think an FCS school and maybe they're both actually FBS, but they're smaller, like non-Power 5, not very good teams in Kent State and Tulane. Not totally still sold on Auburn. I think A&M actually wins this one. They need to win this one because they have Georgia, Alabama, and LSU, so they have to win this game. So I go A&M.
Texas A&M wins at home. And you're right, Auburn just played Tulane and Kent State before. So, not too.
Yeah, I don't
big
buy
teams.
Them quite yet.
Notre Dame versus Georgia Bulldogs.
Notre Dame, their biggest issue, they've had some good teams. Obviously, they made that national title game 5 years ago, made the college football playoff last year, but who did they get whooped by? Alabama and Clemson. And Georgia's kind of on that level. I think when it comes down to it, they have trouble with the speed. I think there's just more explosive playmakers on, like, the Alabamas, the Clemson, and the Georgias of the world, and Notre Dame. It's also at Georgia. It's on the road. I think Notre Dame will come to play, but I think the athletes at Georgia are just a little bit better. I go Georgia.
Yeah, that's a big game. That's Notre Dame is number 7, Georgia's number 3, so we'll definitely see some action there. And not finally, Oregon versus Stanford. Saturday night, 7 p.m.
Let's do USC Utah. USC Utah is a good game in the Pac-12. I thought it was actually going to be a top 25 matchup, but USC ended up falling out because of the loss. But I think this is a tough game. It's at USC. USC plays much better at home. USC still on paper has the better athletes than Utah. I do think Utah's the overall better team. I like Utah on the line. They're going to be physical in the defensive line. Let's see if USC can hang with them. I think it's going to be a tricky matchup. I just don't trust USC right now. I want to have them pulling off the upset and beating Utah. I think it could happen. I just don't trust them. And one thing about Utah is they are a consistent, well-coached team. They're not going to make a lot of mistakes, and they will be there for 4 quarters. I can't say that I believe that from a USC program. I think all said and done, I think Utah wins a close matchup against USC.
Utah. How about this? Colorado versus Arizona State.
Arizona State. Colorado's not very good.
Okay. And finally, Oregon versus Stanford.
I've kind of outlined. I mean, I've pretty much said all that I need to say in that game. I just think Oregon, on paper, I'm going to do an article comparing the talent. If everyone was healthy, all being like equal, like everyone on the roster, I'd still say Oregon has the advantage according to my team talent formula and also according to the 2019 247 team talent composite. But then when you add in injuries to Walker Little and Foster Sarrell and even the other high-rated guys or backup quarterbacks, I think, a significant talent advantage to Oregon. I think Oregon's just a better team right now. I think they're better offensively. I think they're better defensively. Oregon has lost three consecutive years to Stanford. They blew the game in Eugene on College Game Day last year. I think they're going to come out motivated. I think it's going to be 35-16 Oregon. I think they win pretty convincingly at Stanford.
Another game I just spotted, UCF-Pittsburgh.
UCF.
Okay. And tonight, Monday Night Football, Browns versus the Jets.
I will go...
with no Sam Darnold.
Okay, Browns.
Okay. They win in New York. Random question. Yep. What were the last two books you have read?
The last two books, Indwelling Christ by Ian Thomas, theology book, and I think, I'm forgetting, is it Systematic Theology by Wayne Grudem. Mostly when I do read, it's been always Christian-related books, theological books. So those are the last. I don't really read anything other than that. Might read Shapiro's book that he just came out with once in a while. I'll read a political book, but I don't ever read anything sports-related.
That's good. Theology books. I've read that in college. Haven't read a theology book since. I've been reading more business books in the past couple of months. So
business makes sense, especially if you're trying to get into business.
Exactly. Anyways, Tyler, what is the best way to reach you to talk about the outcome of Oregon and Stanford?
At TurnerCast.
Will you be live tweeting that game?
I will be at SportsCast, or I always live tweet it at TurnerCast. I think SportsCast, I did the Auburn game.
You did, the Auburn-Oregon.
Sure. Yeah, that's probably a big enough game. I just didn't think, like, live tweet on the SportsCast when I don't know if anyone on there would even give a darn about Oregon in that game. But, yeah, I'll live tweet on the SportsCast for Stanford.
Hey, we leave.
If I'm not having a kid, so.
Yeah, which, you know, this week we're giving Tyler some good wishes for this week. Obviously, he could be having his fourth child. And congratulations. Hopefully we'll find out soon. If you can't be on the SportsCast in the next couple of weeks because of that, it's okay.
Thank you.
But sports keeps going. Anyways, reach us at the SportsCast1 on Twitter and thesportscast.net. We'll be live covering college football all weekend, of course, and some NFL stuff as well. We'll keep an eye on what's going on with the Steelers and with the Saints. Should be very exciting. But anyways, Tyler, always a pleasure.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.